Waltz by Dionisio Aguado. What a name, eh? A waltz is a dance with three beats to a bar. One, two, three, one, two, three. Very simple piece, really easy to play, but you need to be aware of something. The tune is kind of hidden, really, inside the notes you see, because the tune isn't really da da dum dum da da dum dum da da dum dum dum. The tune is something much simpler. It's just this. When I say the tune, you might think the whole thing's a tune. Well, kind of it is, but it's also a whole instrumental, self-contained piece with chords or bits of chords in there or implied. So the main notes that I just picked out there are the ones that, in my opinion, constitute the actual tune, the bit that we would naturally sing if we were singing along with it. So you've got to try and bring those notes out more forcefully than the rest. Big effort there to bring out those notes that I just mentioned and make the other ones quieter. Same in the second half. So it's la 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 la. That's what I think of as the tune. La. Pretty little piece, and it's really very easy to play. It's all free strokes, by the way, no rest strokes. We don't want these heavy-handed kind of like that. It's not that kind of thing. It's all free strokes. It's light and airy and relaxed is the feeling. So, but be very careful to use the correct fingers on each appropriate string. So right at the outset, we've got the first finger, the I finger, as we call it in the right hand, playing the open G, then the M finger, then the thumb, P, so it's I, M, P. You can sit there for a minute or two just doing this. And remember, there's no rest strokes, it's all free strokes. You've got to pluck the strings and come away from them. If you do heavy-handed rest strokes, it really won't work. Big moment for the fourth finger, the pinky. You've got to be pretty focused to make sure, and you probably need to memorize this. Well, you definitely need to memorize the whole thing, and you need to watch your left hand to make sure that fourth finger is going to the right place, namely the fourth fret of the fourth string, which is why in many of your copies I've written 444 above it. Fourth finger on the fourth fret of the fourth string, simple. So when you're working through a piece, any piece of music, learn everything you can and reinforce your knowledge of notes and everything as you go along. Be fully conscious of what it is you're doing, what all the notes are called, what the rhythms are, what kind of notes we've got here. Be able to name them. Quavers, the joined together ones, crotchets, the basic black ones, and the white ones, of course, minims. There's no minims in this. It's all crotchets and quavers. And the occasional crotchet rest, that's the squiggly thing, like a streak of lightning. It's also in the key of G major, and we have in the key signature a single sharp. That's reminding us that every F, and there's only the one F in this, that's the one where you put the fourth finger on the fourth fret of the fourth string. It's just reminding you that, you know, if you do have an F, then you've got to play it not as F, but as F sharp. And a sharp is always one fret further along. It's as simple as that. We do have a repeat in this notice, and you are required to do that repeat in the exam, because it would be an incredibly short piece if you didn't. The last line, as you see on the page, the last bar rather, looks incredibly complicated, and actually it's the easiest thing of the whole piece, I reckon, because you've got first finger on D, second finger on B, which has to be on the third string. You see why? Because we've used up the B string to play the D, so we have to play the B on the third string. There it is, same sound as the open B. Well, almost the same sound. Here's a very nice point, if you like. When we play it at any given note on any given string, assuming the guitar is in tune, when you come to play it on another string, you should hear pretty much a note of exactly the same pitch. But there is a subtle difference between the different strings, in much the same way as a trumpet and a violin can still play, can each play the same note, but the trumpet still sounds like a trumpet and the violin still sounds like a violin. Equally with our own voices, we can talk to each other, but we still sort of recognise differences, not so much of pitch, but the quality of the voice, the basic, what we call the tone, or the tone colour, or the timbre, if you want to use a French word which says it rather more specifically. Right, here's me playing B in several different places, open B. Now B on the third string. Now B, which is on the ninth fret of the fourth string. And now B on the fifth string at the 14th fret. And you can tell they're all the same note, la, but they have a different characteristic feel or sound to them, what we call, as I say, the best word for this is a French word, timbre, spelled T-I-M-B-R-E. Because the word tone, people talk about a guitar having a lovely tone, or doesn't she sing with a nice tone or whatever. It's a bit of a misused, or I should say abused, word, because it means lots of different things. Yes, it means the quality of sound, but it also means two semitones. And in America, it means a note, because the Americans don't speak about notes like we do. They speak about tone, as in that note is the tone of C or the tone of E. So, you know, if you went for music lessons in America, you'd soon be bewildered, because you'd think, oh, what's he on about, the tone of C? I don't know what he means. Language is very confusing. Even one language, the English language, has many confusions in it. Nearly every word you can think of has more than one meaning, of course. Now you try playing along with me. One, two, three.